Good morning. Okay. A couple of things to send around here. We've got the yellow one. That's the Thanksgiving dinner thing. Still got some slots for things you could sign up to bring. And then we have a few blank spots for church cleaning. And I don't know, at one point we quit mowing. That'll happen here pretty soon. But we've dug out the other things, those weapons of warfare, snow shovels. I'm hoping they can just sit there for a while. Okay, do check your mailboxes. There's the new Baptist International Challenger. It gives you some insight on things going on there in the Ukraine and the other side of the world there, things you can be aware of. Did everybody get a bulletin this morning? Anybody not have one? If you don't, raise your hand. Not that we're selling them, but inside there's a little picture that I kind of wanted you to see of the sheepfold, okay? And we'll be talking about that here in a little bit. All right, so what are you going to do Saturday night? Yeah. Just 1 hour, okay? You know, get a leap year or, you know, some other. Yeah, turn the clocks back next Saturday night, and then our Thanksgiving dinner will be here after the morning service. Oh, and we're cutting you a little bit of extra slack. Maybe we didn't need that with an extra hour, but we're not having Sunday school, so you got a little bit more time to prepare. Sometimes you don't have to get up at 4 to get everything cooked and here on time, but that doesn't happen very often. But okay, so let's see. Two other things I wanted to mention. This one I feel really awkward about, but I wanted to say something about it. Appreciate, Maureen and I both appreciate the dinner you guys put on for us here last Sunday, and the cake and all the trimmings and everything. And now I have to fast this week. But yeah, okay. But anyway, we wanted to thank you for the cards. There were various gifts. Some things didn't have names on them or anything. We try to thank people for what they've done for us. But in all of that, we ended up with a Visa gift card that we didn't know who it belonged to. And Maureen was saying when we left, she grabbed a bag out of the kitchen and put the cards and stuff in there, and we get home and it's in the bag, but we don't know where it came from. We don't know if somebody left it in the bag or if it fell out of a car. Anyway, if you gave us a Visa gift card of some kind, thank you. We just didn't know who it belonged to. Yeah. Well, we just didn't want to, if somebody had it in the bag and it's like, oh, that's where it went. we'll give it back. So. All right, and then do pray for Dan and Andrea. I think we tried to get to most of you folks, but on Friday morning they ended up going to the hospital, and Andrea had a miscarriage, and so they're hurting, and they're going to the funeral home today to talk with them, figure out, you know, what they do from here on. So if you remember them and their family, I know they appreciate that. Okay. All right. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the way that you watch over and care for us day by day, really even moment by moment, and for the protection that you provide for us. We do pray especially here this morning for Dan and Andrea and their family with the loss of this little baby. We thank you that we have confidence from your word that that little one is in your presence and you're caring for her even now. We thank you, Lord, for your ability to comfort and encourage Dan and Andrea and their family at this time. May they draw strength from you. Help them, especially as they go to the funeral home today and make whatever arrangements they need to do there. And it's quite an adjustment to go from planning for a new little one to join the family to figuring out where and how we're going to bury him. And we just pray that you'd help them in the days ahead as well. We ask that you guide us in our worship time today. May you receive the honor and praise for all that's said and done. And as we look at your word and find help and direction there for our individual lives, we pray that you'd help us to put it to use. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We're looking at first song here, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. We're going to be looking at a shepherds today here. 462.
Good morning, everyone. If you wouldn't mind standing, we'll sing all four verses of hymn number 462, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Turn ahead to hymn number 522, He Lifted Me, and we'll sing all four of those verses, please.
And shame, through grace he's lifted.
He lifted me with tender hand. He lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me. He called me long before I heard, for my sinful heart was stirred. But when I took him at his word, forgive me. He lifted me with tender hand. He lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn. His hand by cruel nails were torn. And from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me. A tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me. A higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know. Cannot tell, he should have lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me. With tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me.
Amen, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
Just wanted to remind you, after the morning service, I'll give you a little break so you guys can do the 100-yard dash to your car. But we're going to have a short business meeting after morning service. If you haven't picked up your mail lately this week, there is a quarterly financial report in there. You might want to pick that up, go through that, answer any questions you might have. So it shouldn't take long. All right, a couple of choruses here. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord for how long?
Ever.
Okay, we might be doing that on the way up and that trumpet blows.
Amen.
And then we're gonna, for 7 years with the Lord, and then we come back, sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. We're still going to be singing of the mercies of the Lord. And then we're going to get a new heavens and a new earth. And we're going to be singing forever. Okay. And the thing is, you guys are probably already in tune, but I'll be able to sing. Those won't just be notes on a page anymore. They'll mean something. All right. Seeing about the sheepfold, we're going to see who's the door. Those sheepfolds have a gate on them, all right?
All right.
Yeah, 253.
Okay. Wow, pass the eye test.
Is that right? So they've warned us, it's coming.
Oh.
Yeah. Another warning. Tuesday, a quarter inch. So you have to go home and dig through the garage, find that old broom or thing to do off your windows and everything. Okay. And then maybe it can warm up back up to 70, huh? I like 70. That's a good number. Okay, so we're going to look here at the door of the sheepfold today, Lord willing, in these first 9 verses of John chapter 10. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom and insight that you can give to us through your word. We pray that you'd help us as we look at this portion of scripture today to learn truths and principles we can apply to our life, and then too, to remind us. I'm sure everybody here knows that, but there's a lot of people we're rubbing shoulders with through the week that don't, that there is only one way to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus. Pray you'd help us to communicate that to those around us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at the door of the sheepfold this week. It's going to kind of a two-part message next week. Next week we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving, but we'll catch up with that with the Good Shepherd as we look at the Lord Jesus and the remainder of that chapter. And we want to notice three particular things here. Now, this message is a little bit different in your outline, too. It's not got a lot of points to it. We're just more of a devotional thing. We're looking at the various verses and trying to glean from that. But this passage is closely connected with a preceding chapter, and Jesus is still kind of working with these hostile Pharisees that have been kind of giving the blind man a bad time. Ends up booting him out of the temple and so on. And he uses a parable here to teach us and those that he's talking to a lesson. And he points out here about the fact that he, as Christ, is the door. And the sheepfold, the local church, as well as the, if you call it universal church, the body of Christ, a couple of different names, made up of all believers of all times throughout this world. And he's the way to get into it. And that's where he assembles his people. And again, he's the door. He's the one way to get in. Now, most every building or house or whatever anymore, you think you got to have at least two doors. way to get out if there's a fire or something else. But there was only one way into that sheepfold. There's no other entrance into the church other than through Jesus Christ. And so he gives us this parable, and he's talking to religious leaders of that day, and yet he's trying to help them to see that they're really not qualified. They're not fit to be leaders and teachers in Israel. And they just don't seem to understand or want to understand who he is and what they ought to be doing. So we're going to look here a little bit today about what a true shepherd is. And next time we'll look at the good shepherd as the chief shepherd, that of the Lord Jesus. We look, if you're there in John chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly," the idea here is, "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." There's a right way and a wrong way to get into the sheepfold. And as we see here, he's appealing to something that most people of that day would know what he's talking about. He's talking about a sheepfold. And they knew what that was. They may not necessarily be shepherds, but they've been out and about in the countryside enough to know what a sheepfold is. And that's kind of a picture of what you might find. It may not necessarily be built out of stone. It may be built out of sticks or whatever. But a place where they bring the sheep in at night, keep them secure and keep them safe. A walled-in area. And anybody that's trying, there's one way to get in, and that's through the gate, through the door. And if you were trying to climb in some other way, somebody's trying to climb over the wall, you would suspect them as being a thief. Kind of like if you went home today, and as you're pulling into the driveway or parking out front, you see somebody climbing in the window of your house. Say, an uninvited guest. especially if they got the truck backed up to that window and they're passing stuff out, okay? Well, the shepherd of the flock, he would enter in through this door, through this gate, if you will. He's never going to climb over the fence. And the Pharisees, they claimed to be spiritual leaders and teachers and custodians of the law. They saw themselves as shepherds. And they had a pretty high opinion of themselves. The thing was, though, Jesus didn't have that same high opinion of them. And they were trying to get into the fold. They were trying to get in some other way, though. Okay? Kind of like people trying to get into heaven some other way than through Jesus. But again, remember, Jesus is the door. And we see this, if you look over into verse 9, Jesus says, he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Well, Jesus is the door. And yet there are some back then, as well as today, that are trying to get into heaven, if you will, other than through Jesus Christ. Now, in Christ's day, they viewed him as competition. The fact that he's getting more people coming out to listen to him preach than they were getting at the temple. And so they wanted to get rid of him. And we know that they did their best to do that. They thought they might have been able to do that. Well, Jesus views them, though, as spiritual thieves and robbers. Instead of helping people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, helping people to get saved, these Pharisees were robbing them of the opportunity to be saved. They were teaching them that they could get to heaven by following their rules and regulations and their traditions. And yet, so they're directing them away from Jesus. It would be like somebody you got a sinking ship and somebody's directing the people away from the lifeboats. And it kind of, in a sense, Jesus is like the lifeboat. He's the one who's able to save our lives. And the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. We're all headed for hell. And yet some people, you know, they don't like that message. You know, that's not positive enough for them. And so they try to twist it and turn it and water it down to mean something else. But we need a Savior. We need that lifeboat, if you will. We need Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished there on the cross for us. And yet these people were turning away from Jesus, and they were trying to get other people to no longer follow Jesus as well. And to them, again, the same lie is out there today, that salvation really comes down to works. You know, you got to do this, you know, and if you just get all your little things checked off, you know, you're bound to get in. And, you know, especially if you're a Jew, you know, that's like one leg already in, and then the work kind of helped get the rest of you in. And instead of pointing people to Jesus, they kept, again, talking about their law, their rules, and they had expanded. You know, they take the Ten Commandments and then they kind of throw a bomb in there and blow these things up to, there was like 600 different rules and regulations that they'd come up with that you had to follow. And they weren't pointing people to Jesus. Well, this sheepfold, in a sense, represents the church, the body of Christ, and those who enter in to the body of Christ, not the physical body, but that body that's made up of all believers of all ages, okay, all over this world, there's only one way in, and it's through the door, and it's through Jesus Christ. Jesus told them, we'll see this later on in this book, but in John 14:6, Jesus tells them, he says, "I am the way," not one of the ways, but the way. I realize that's pretty narrow, but that's all right. It's God's heaven, and he determines who gets in, all right? I haven't seen that little sign anymore or for quite a while, but remember they used to have them on the restaurant, no shoes, no shirt, no service kind of thing. You know, they own the place. They decide who gets to come in. Well, God's got his own list. And it's through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And a person who is a spiritual thief or robber, attempts to get into heaven some other way, some other teaching. You know, sometimes people are, I talked to somebody, well, it was just this last week on the phone, and I'm not sure how they end up calling me, but they needed to talk to somebody, and they were talking to me, and I don't ask them, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because, you know, that's kind of, well, yeah, I don't know, or I just, well, what kind of relationship we have with the Lord? And she was telling me, but she had been brought up with the idea and had shared that, you know, if you just go to church and stuff, you know, you're in. That's all you need to do. Well, found out later, you know, there's more to it than that. But there's still people out there thinking, well, if I belong to a church and I get baptized and I try to live a good life and I'm generous and what the Lord's given me, and I try to live by the golden rule, and, you know, big long, all these other things that they're doing, you know, I did this and I did that, attempting to keep the law or some other way, they think that they're going to get in rather than trusting alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's the way. And so all these works that people do, they in themselves are not bad. But to trust in those instead of Jesus Christ and think you're still going to get in, you're mistaken. I mean, it makes sense in a human sort of way. You know, you do good things for other people, you know, and you try to live a right way. Well, there ought to be some kind of reward, and, well, heaven must be it. Problem is, that's not what the Bible says. That might be what men may think and promote, but that's not how we get into heaven. And God, in case there's any question about it, I mean, there's still some, well, yeah, but, you know, and that's your opinion. No, let's go, what does God's Word say? Well, God's Word tells us pretty clearly there in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, he says, for by grace, that's God's undeserved favor, all right? That you're saved through what? Faith. Okay, what you believe makes the difference. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And then if there's any question at all, he says in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? You're not going to go strolling down the streets of heaven and everybody's got, you know, strutting around. How'd you get here? Oh, I did this, that, and the other one. Well, here's what I did. Yeah. No, that's not going to happen. Jesus did it all, okay? And we need to believe what he did there on the cross was sufficient. He died in our place. He shed his blood, is able to cleanse away our sin, and died and rose again. Jesus did it all. And what we need to do is to believe what he did for me. And so we can't buy, we can't barter, we can't trade some, figure out we're going to work something out with God. You know, I don't know how many people through the years, me and God, we're just kind of like this. You know? Yeah, okay. You know, they might have the comfort in their own minds because, again, and I don't get too far off on this, but people have kind of their own homemade God. They decide what God's like. It may not match anything close to what God, you know. God is a God of love. God would never punish anybody. There is, you know, there is no hell. And, you know, we're all going to heaven, you know. Didn't matter what we live like or believed or anything else this side of heaven, but we're all going there. Wrong. Okay? And so, again, without Jesus, without his shed blood and cleansing of our sin, we're remaining in that sad shape, sinners before a holy God. And hell awaits us, as is the lake of fire. And that's the truth Jesus trying to get across to these Pharisees. And he's trying to use word pictures, though, to help get this truth across. So he just come up to them, you know, nose to nose and said, you guys are thieves and robbers. You know, they'd have probably pounced on him with big sticks, all right? And so he shares this in a kind of a a story in illustrated fashion, a parable, and he's trying to get the idea across to them. And because, again, they didn't believe that he was the Son of God. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah and the Savior. And they were leading people away from Jesus because they thought he was some kind of an imposter of some kind. And yet we see the earthly ministry of Jesus. He doesn't have an awful lot of time or use for false teachers. Because really, you stop and think about it, they're the most dangerous person on the face of the earth. You say, well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Yeah. And you probably all heard the news about this guy and the killings that went on in Maine. You think, oh, man, people staying home, doors locked, guns loaded, you know, and probably a few of them praying that hadn't done that for a while. That's pretty scary. But you stop and think about it. A bank robber or somebody else that comes in and he breaks into your house and he steals whatever valuables you might have and personal property, most of that can be replaced. But the spiritual robber, one who's teaching error, robs men of the opportunity of salvation, the gift of God, the eternal life forever. You can't replace that. And those who follow those teachers, you know, miss out on heaven, okay? Because they've been following a lie. And so the people who are fostering these false ideas, false doctrine, lying to people, really, there's a price for them to pay. But they can have that ability to lead people astray. And that's what these Pharisees were doing in Jesus' day. They were leading people away from Jesus instead of towards him. And Matthew 16:26 says, the Lord says, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Folks, our soul is the most important thing, okay? That's going to last for eternity. All this other stuff, you know, it's going to get left behind, okay? And often these false teachers today, they mix just enough truth into their message to make people think, oh, well, that sounds okay, you know? Makes it sounds acceptable. And I know I shared this with you before, but it really struck me, and this is years ago. I haven't had any Mormons knocking on my door for quite a while. But when we were in Minnesota and had a couple of these guys, you know, I mean, you can tell them a mile away, white shirt, tie, riding a bike, whatever, backpack. And they knocked on our door, you know, and we're here to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, that sounds like something you and I would say, wouldn't it? But under their arm, yeah, they got a Bible, but they also got their Book of Mormons. And the Book of Mormons is, they're going more by that than they are what the Bible has to say. And they don't have it straight as far as salvation is concerned. And so we have to be alert so that we aren't end up buying into somebody's lie or false teachings. And there's all kinds of it out there. I mean, I don't know if there's something new every day, but there's a lot of stuff floating around out there. Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Okay? Got a lot of people believing a lot of different things out there. And, you know, regardless of what people say, all roads don't lead to heaven. You know? You believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I want, and we'll all meet there together. No. That, again, might make people think that that's what's a good thing, but...
You playing music over here? Oh, no. Got a red light.
Okay. Well, you heard the good stuff, all right? They're missing out. All right, so all ways are ways of death, okay? When there's one way to life, and that's Jesus Christ. There is no other door. Acts 4:12 tells us that. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Okay? It isn't Jesus and da 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 da. No. It's Jesus, period. Right? And just with these Pharisees, so with ministers today. Doesn't matter if they got the collar on right or backwards or whatever. If they're not teaching the truth of the gospel about Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, they are one of these spiritual thieves and robbers and will suffer damnation as a result of it. Verse 2 goes on to say, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, Jesus is not talking about himself right here. I mean, he's more referring to the under-shepherds, people like myself, other pastors and missionaries and teachers and others. He's ultimately the great shepherd that we'll read about there in verse 11. But he's saying he's the door in which all of us, you know, there isn't two-tier, you know, sometimes we hear about two-tier justice, you know, one for you, one for you. There's not several different ways of salvation. There's one. And it's, again, through Jesus Christ. He's the door. And it's, we all have to enter in the same way. And we enter in by Jesus Christ. We end up being a true shepherd, one who loves and cares for his flock and seek to bring people to Jesus, to direct them. We look at verse 3. It says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And so we see here four different characteristics of a true shepherd that are not possessed by a thief or a robber. It says, to him the porter openeth. Okay, the true shepherd is known by the porter. He's the third shift guy, all right? He's the one who is there guarding the sheep during the night so the shepherds can get some sleep and be able to watch the sheep during the daytime. But the shepherd enters into the sheepfold. He enters in by the door. He doesn't try climbing over the wall, you know? It says the sheep hear his voice. The sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd. They're going to listen to him. They're going to obey him, what the true shepherd says. And he says, he calleth them by name. Now that's, boy, sometimes, do you ever have a mental blank and you can't think of somebody's name? It's like, and somebody you know. And it's, well, you know, here, come here, sheep. sheep. Yeah, they said a lot of them had names for their sheep. And the thing, they calleth them by name, okay? The thing was, each one was an individual, just like we are all individuals, all right? God saves us one by one. Jesus died for us, each and every one of us, all right? And it says he leads them out, okay? The shepherd leads them out. Into good pastures. He wants to provide good pasture, good grass, food for them so they'll grow up and be healthy and strong. And in the Eastern way of life in those days, they would, again, this sheepfold would be a high fence around it of some type, strong walls, and it had a porter. And he was the guy that kind of watched the sheep during the night. They'd bring all the sheep in, you know, half a dozen different shepherds, and they'd bring them all their sheep, and they're all mixed together, and shut the gate, and he'd keep an eye on things during the night. And then in the morning, the shepherds would come in, enter into the gate, and they would call their sheep. They would have their own distinct call. And again, if you're knowing them by name, you know, Harry, Larry, George, come on, let's go. they knew who the shepherd was, who their shepherd was. And one person that visited there wrote this. He says, I saw shepherds grazing the flocks at the foot of Mount Nebo, and when the sun began to set, they called the sheep which were grazing in the valley. All flocks were all mixed together, mingling together as they fed, but when each shepherd gave their own peculiar call, the sheep of his fold followed him, and leaving the combined flocks, they would go and in going to the sheepfold. And later, we'll see in verse 27, actually a couple weeks from now, but it says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Okay? They know the voice of the shepherd. We're to know the voice of the Lord. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me." Okay? And so they call out to the sheep. Verse 4 says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him." They know his voice. And so that's a description here of a true shepherd. His sheep, he leads the sheep from the sheepfold out to the pasture where they're going to graze and have something to drink. And the thing is, he leads them, as we know there by 23rd Psalm, he leads them unto green pastures, takes them where they're going to find some good grass to eat. And it tells us, again, in Scripture, the Bible, the shepherds always go before the sheep. They don't drive the sheep. They're not coming in behind and hooting and hollering at them and chasing them down the road. The shepherd would lead the sheep, and they would follow him. They know the shepherd. They know his voice. They follow him. And that's what the Lord wants of us today as well, to follow him, know his voice, know his word, and the call of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. And born-again believers, we ought to want to know the Lord better and better. You know, those of you who are been married, you know, you think you know your husband, your wife, when you get married, but, you know, 10, 20, 30 years later, how much better do you know them? It's kind of, I don't think that's me. This morning, I'm trying to get, we have a narrow kitchen, okay? And Maureen's there, and I'm trying to get through, and she's not sure which way she's supposed to move to let me get by. And I'm trying to get over here to take my vitamins, you know. Got a last sip of coffee, and I almost wore the coffee, but trying to get that down, you know. But she says, "Well, I didn't know what you want. Don't you read my mind by now? You know, you should know what I'm doing." But we want to follow the Lord. We want to follow his voice. And we have to be careful. There's a lot of voices out there today. We need to be careful who we're following, what we're believing. I mean, look, all you have to do is look at some of the stuff on TV. All these kids coming off of college campuses, what they've been taught. That's why they think it's okay for the massacre to have taken place from the, what is it, from the river to the sea. You know, they want Israel gone. They want all the people. They want all the Jewish people gone. You know, that's their thinking. And they don't know any better, but that's what they've been taught. We have to be careful what voice we're listening to, lest we be led astray. Was that last week? Anyway, when the hospital got bombed, you know, and they're all pointing the finger, "Oh, Israel did it." And then they find out, no, that's one of their own that blew up the place. And it landed in the parking lot anyway, and it didn't kill 500 people. But, you know, there's a lot of voices out there. You have to be careful what we listen to. Verse 5 says, "A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, and they know not the voice of strangers." Okay? And Jesus, again, brings this, the idea of this true shepherd and his flock. The Jewish people of that day knew that the sheep were accustomed to the voice of one shepherd. I was thinking about that today, and I don't know the answer to it. But what if that shepherd takes a vacation? He's gone for a few days, and there's a sub in. Well, what do they do then? I don't know. But they listen to one voice, and some stranger calls them, and they don't show up. And in some ways, we're kind of like that. Well, some of you can relate to that. Remember as kids, you're out playing with a bunch of the neighbor kids, and mom or dad hollers, you know that voice. And then if you start getting your middle name and a few other, come home right now. That's, I got to go. Yeah, well, these sheep were they followed. They didn't come to the when the neighbor lady called, okay? And, you know, God's given us His Holy Spirit. He's instilled the Spirit within us. And He will lead us in paths of righteousness, God's Word tells us. In John 16:13, it says, "Howbeit He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." Okay? He's not going to guide us into error, but He will guide us into the truth. And I don't have that much exposure to sheep, but there, when we were in Minnesota, there was a fellow in our church that had sheep, and he said this too. They're a dumb animal. But regardless of what maybe people think, they have some remarkable characteristics. And again, they have that ability to recognize their shepherd, right? And they only follow that voice, the voice that they know. And you've got a little bitty lamb, okay, that's only a day old, and you've got 1,000 sheep out there. They can pick out mom's voice, and they go to mom, all right? You know, they don't have a section over here for the little lost sheep. Mom, come and claim them. You know, they're in aisle number 3. No, it's they able to find mom. And the same way as believers, we need to be tuned in and listening to the Lord, what He would have to say to us. And again, we wouldn't turn our finances over, or our business over, to a dishonest lawyer or a doctor that we thought was kind of a quack. We ought to be very, very careful when it comes time for the welfare of our soul and who we listening to in matters of life. We don't want to get led astray. Jesus says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which were He spake to them." And so these Pharisees, these, again, religious people, religious leaders, they were listening, but it wasn't computing. It wasn't making sense in their minds. And they were acquainted with what Jesus was talking about as far as the sheep goes, but they understood not. Well, why is that? Okay? Well, for one thing, they were willfully ignorant. They chose to discount Jesus. You know, we're looking for the Messiah. He doesn't meet the description that we've come up with what we're looking for, and so He can't be it. They felt themselves as righteous people, okay? They didn't see themselves as sinners in need of a Savior. And so they didn't, you know, they pretty much didn't pay much attention to what Jesus' message was all about. They were just looking, again, for a reason to get rid of Him. And again, they didn't see themselves as spiritual thieves and robbers that Jesus did. They claimed to be what we would think of today as pastors or teachers, but they were leading souls away from Jesus. They were leading people towards damnation, not salvation. And they lacked the qualifications of being teachers and leaders. And they may have had the title, but they were leading people astray. And there's still people out there doing that today. Verse 7 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." And the thing is, Jesus, sometimes, you know, you're talking to people and you'd like to know what they're thinking. You know, is any of this making sense to them? How can I describe it better or whatever? Well, Jesus knew that it wasn't computing for him, okay? He knew the hearts and minds of these people. And so he patiently explains it. I mean, he's putting the cookies on the lower shelf. He's trying to illustrate it with this parable of the sheep and the sheepfold. And he knows that people are sometimes slow to hear and even slower yet to believe. And so here Jesus, he's exercising patience with them, okay? And we need to keep telling the same old story and the same truth, same gospel. Don't try to drop stuff off, you know, because you think they might be offended by it or whatever. Now, at some point, they need to understand, yeah, Jesus has got a plan for your life, all right, you know. But can't skip over the fact that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And if they miss that point, they've missed the main point. And God knows if we keep sharing the truth, okay? Sometimes it takes longer to sink in for some than others. But then we can claim, as Isaiah 55:11 tell us, that God's word, as it goes forth, it will not return void or empty, but it will accomplish which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Okay, there's not a timer on it, you know, that God's going to cause the light to come on in their hearts and minds within so many hours or days or weeks. But God says, thing is, God can use his Holy Spirit to have this thing running in a loop, tape loop in their minds when you're not around, maybe in the middle of the night or whatever, they said, and get them thinking about this. And he says, I'm the door of the sheep. He alone, okay? There's no substitute. Jesus is not going on vacation and having somebody else sub in for him. He's the shepherd and the chief shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the only door. And people can be sincere in their faith. And I don't doubt that. You know, there are some people have been whatever they are, their whole life. And they sincerely believe that, okay? You know, missionaries run into that. But you don't have to go to a foreign country to find people worshiping or following some God that you don't know much about, because they're coming in here and they're bringing it with them, okay? And they may be very sincere about it. But folks, you can be sincere and be wrong, okay? And it's been a long time ago. I don't think probably any of you remember that. But at one point, they used to think the world was flat. And these guys, they go sailing off into the ocean blue. And if they go too far, go off the edge and never be heard or seen of again. They're afraid of that. Well, they were wrong, but that's what they believed. And people can be wrong today in what they believe. He says there in verse 8, in all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but sheep. But the sheep did not hear them. Okay? Jesus he's not talking about the prophets and others that came before him in a time sort of way. But he's talking about those that were before him in another sense. He's talking about the Pharisees that are standing there before him. And we see here that they thought they had a place of honor and authority, and they did in the minds of the people. But they should have been honoring Jesus, and they weren't. They were trying to figure out a way to kill him. And they were misleading the people. They were serving their own ends. They wanted to get rid of Jesus because, hey, he's liable to mess things up for us with the Romans. We've got a pretty cushy job here, and he's liable to mess things up for us, and we're liable to lose our positions here. And so it's better, as they say, one man die than, you know, this happened to all the rest of us. And they were serving their own ends. They were called spiritual leaders in their day, but actually they were shutting people out of the kingdom. They were like standing at the door and shooing people off some other direction. What was it? That was a fire in Hawaii, wasn't it? when they had people blocking the roads and telling them to go that way, and the ones that followed their directions died, and the ones that just kind of plowed on through were saved. And so the sheep didn't hear them. The sheep, okay, true believers, didn't listen to what these Pharisees were saying. There were God-fearing people. We don't have the big, long list of them, but God knows who they are. Remember when they brought Jesus to the temple? And who's there? Simon's there. Anna's there. They knew who, they were looking for Jesus to come. They recognized for who he was. So there were people, and there were many that believed on Jesus during his earthly ministry. And those folks were born again. They had trusted Jesus Christ. And ultimately, he was yet to die and be buried and rose again. But their faith was in Jesus Christ. And they were kept from believing the error that was prominent in their day. Last verse here, he says, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so, a few things interesting here. He says, all those that come to Jesus will be saved individually, one by one. And all those that come to the Lord Jesus, the door, they're going to not only receive the gift of God and of eternal life, but we're able to have fellowship with the Lord. You know that eternal life is something yet down the road for us, but we're able to have fellowship with the Lord in between times. And all that come to Jesus here are going to be able to go in and out. Okay, we're not held captive. All right, there's security there. The Lord's watching over us no matter where we go. Okay, Lord was with the Zilkies riding on that bus to St. Louis and back just as much as he was you sitting in your at home in your living room. All right, he goes with us. We have freedom to move about, and we have liberty. And it says here too that all that come to Jesus will be able to find pasture. They're able. God's going to supply our needs. Okay, I mean none of us, I don't think, knows what's coming down the pike. You know, as far as they keep threatening the, you know, this digital money's coming. You know, you better run out and buy your gold and all the rest of this stuff. What that's going to happen to us, don't know, okay? But it might take us by surprise, but it's not going to take the Lord by surprise. It doesn't negate his promise when he says, I'm going to supply all your needs, okay? God knows what our needs are now. He knows what our needs are going to be next year and the year after that if we're still around here. And again, just kind of pulling this together here, we see several times over it talks about the voice of the shepherd. It's mentioned in verses 3, 4, 5, and then we'll see later on in 27. And the sheep were tuned in to the shepherd's voice. Folks, we are bombarded. Okay, with all kinds of messages, you know, voices, the radio, the TV, the, you know, all these people walking around. I don't know if they're on the phone or if they're listening to music, but they got stuff in their ears and they're talking away and so on. And there's all kinds of input coming at us. And we're going to have a whole lot more of it. You know, I mean, this next year, imagine. If I had a nickel for every political ad that's going to come out, we'd be all rich, all right? I'd share it with you. But we have to be careful that all that noise out there doesn't drown out the message of the shepherd. Lord still wants to get through to us. And we need to hear him. We need to take time to listen to what he says, okay? You know, and he's probably not going to call you on your phone. He's going to use his word. So that means we've got to sit down, got to take a little bit of time, let God speak to us. Take a little bit of time, pray, talk to him, and to trust, believe, and what his word tells us for the direction that he wants us to go in our day-to-day life. Again, he's the door. There is no substitute there. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. You know, he's going to be the one to open the door to heaven for us, all right? Jesus is the key, all right? And there is no other way. Question for you. If the Lord been trying to get through to you this week, would you have heard him? I remember a pastor telling this. He said, you know, if the Lord been trying to get through to you this week, would you have heard him? Or would he have got a busy signal? You know, we get kind of busy with life and living. And you can't just stop work and everything else just to be tuned in, okay? But are we listening? If he's been trying to get through to us, would we have been too busy to listen? Or would we have put God on hold and say, I'll be with you in just a minute. You know, I've got an important call here, or I got this to do, and so on. And then we kind of forget about it. Aren't you glad that God doesn't have a phone tree? Oh. He's there. He's only a prayer away. And he's watching over us, caring for us, because he loves us. Again, we'll see more about that as the chief shepherd. But we as the sheep need to listen for his call. Listen to his voice, because he wants to lead us. And he wants to lead us in green pastures. He wants to lead us in ways that are going to be ultimately best for us. And we'll never miss out by following him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you that you chose to love us. That we don't have to complete some kind of a checklist in order to earn your love. That you're going to love us through good times and difficult times. And there are going to be things that come along our way that we don't quite understand or know the reasons why. I guess that's where faith comes in. We can trust you. You love us. You're only going to allow what's best for us to come into our lives. And Lord, we pray that we might be, again, as sheep, with tuned in ears, that we're listening for the direction the Lord wants us. We're making a lot of decisions every day of our lives. How many of those decisions do we even kind of run by the Lord? What do I need to do here, Lord? Or we just make them and hope for the best? There's help available. But Lord, we pray that we might be listening to you and your word and your Holy Spirit in our day-to-day lives. And we thank you for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How about we sing this way? 333, 333, His Way With Thee. Thank you. Yeah, it'd be the 19th.
Okay, but just, yeah, because, I mean, for the last two Sundays, wanted to bring it in.
Well, you can bring it in and put it on the bench out there.
Oh, I'm going to send it in to Keith on his way. I'm going to send you down to the school. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He was going to put somebody on the vehicle. You know, he's in the process of getting this okay for his rental stuff. You know, all that.
Oh, yeah, every year it's the same. Yeah.
But now he's got to do it online. His father's trying to help to do that. And they were supposed to come and inspect his apartment, but they never showed up. He's been trying to call him. All he gets is the answering machine. And when he calls him,
that's, they do that every year almost. I know, he flips out, yeah.
Milwaukee at St. Louis Episcopal, and because I couldn't, he didn't have a number for his church today, because he was just visiting him last week, which he does, so he knows the drill. He's been sharing stuff.
You might tell Mark. He has some contact with him.
He sent him a message that just, you know what I'm saying? It's just, so he's done with him. Mark is done.
Really?
But you got to understand where he's coming from. That's not his mind. And he said things and stuff to me and stuff and hung up on me, but I understand. Because we've been talking together quite a while, regularly, keep in touch, and, you know, and we had some good conversations.
You wonder, does he go off his meds or something?
No, it's the meds. And he, you know, he sleeps too long and then he gets up and then he's on his phone looking on YouTube and he stands here one after the other stuff from the YouTube that he finds that he's interested. And I'm interested, and that's fine, but I said, you've got to just kind of quit. I don't have time.
Yeah, well, it clogs up your phone if you're sending a bunch of pictures.
But the meds make him sleepy, and he's got so many issues. He needs to be admitted for a while again to get him leveled out, you know. And
I used to have the number for his psychiatrist.
I don't know what to do. So I could not do anything.
Yeah, right.
So,
anybody need a... school, but not only.